This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.theparish.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, May 3rd, 2015, the fifth Sunday in Easter, by Father William Doc Holliday.
Without me, you can do nothing. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, the Lord our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Without me, you can do nothing. Not without me, you can't do real holy things, or without me, you're not special. Without me, you can do nothing. Our Lord says these words in this discourse that is primarily, first and foremost, this idea of the branch and the vines, him being the vine and we being the branches. He gets very, very explicit when he speaks of this, and he speaks of a couple things. First and foremost, he discusses with us who he is and our relationship with him. And then when we understand our relationship with him, he emphasizes our understanding or the consequences of this relationship, consequences that demand something of us. And then guess what? He actually answers why. We love to ask that question, why this, why that, why would God do this, why would he not do that? A lot of times you can why things to death and you got to reach a point that, I don't know. Get it? Not the case here. Not the case. He answers why. Why do you live a certain way? Why do you do the things that you do? Because you are a branch of the vine, a relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's talk about the first part of it, who he is. Well, you know, oh yeah, Jesus, he uses all kinds of, you know, lambs, sheep, vines, you know, all kind of agrarian things. We're not like that anymore. You know, God knows our frame. He knows that we are simple, that we are dust, and we aren't the sharpest knives in the drawer when it comes to things of the faith. So he uses the most basic, simple analogy that don't have anything to do with whether you're an agrarian or a gardener or not. Any 7-year-old who's gone through their elementary school biology knows this deal about trees and limbs and vines and branches, okay? It's something simple for us to understand. Well, you know, how profound could that be? Extremely profound, because Jesus Christ is telling us something. He is explicitly describing himself as being of our nature. Not only describing being our nature, but even more so, that after our baptism, we are of his nature. Now, that being said, you're never going to be God. You're never going to be the second person of the Trinity. But you are that integrally related to him. That's how you are not his friend. You are not his buddy. He is God, and you are part of him. In a true and objective sense, that's what he's communicating here. I am the vine, you are the branches. Branches are a part of the vine's life in a very true and real sense. They are part of the vine. We are not, I get a little secular here for a second, because there's something that I see occasionally, this might be a little footnote, but I can't help it. It really rubs me the wrong way. Catholic publications, and they'll talk about a new parish that's open. The official name, St. Fill-in-the-Blanks Catholic Community. Wrong. Wrong. We as members of the Catholic Church are not part of a community. So what do you mean? The definition of community. The definition of community. You punch it up in Google. This is what you get. You know, I'm not talking about busting open a theology book. Community. A group of people living in the same place. No. A feeling of fellowship with others. Well, isn't that? No. A group of interdependent organisms in the same habitat. No. We are not interdependent on our Lord Jesus Christ. We are absolutely dependent upon Him. Without Him, we can do nothing. Without being a part of the vine, the branch dies. That's all there is to it. We are absolutely dependent on our Lord Jesus Christ. We are not in fellowship. We are not a group of people living together of like mind. Okay? That's outside the Catholic Church. Somebody brought up something this week, and it was actually before I even did this, but when I started doing this prep, I was like, oh, this really addresses this situation. It was brought up this week. Well, you know, I used to go to this Protestant church, and whenever there was a visitor, oh man, they had people calling them and all this kind of stuff. You know why they do that? Because they want them to stay in that particular wall, in those walls. Okay? You got to put your hooks into people because they may go somewhere else. You know, you go to First Baptist My Church, they want you to stay at First Baptist My Church. They don't want you to go down the street to Second Baptist their church. Okay? They don't want that. It's really interesting. You can be an active member of this parish, and you might come every now and then to a weekday mass, but always on Sunday. Guess what? You don't know a whole lot of people that attend Mass regularly at this parish. There are people that attend Mass daily at this parish throughout the week and never darken the door here on Sunday. Is that wrong? Absolutely not, because it's Catholic. It's the Catholic Mass. Actually, if you really think about it, there are people, they're not members of this parish, but they're actually here much more often, objectively and numerically speaking, than people who are active members of this parish. Okay? There's nothing wrong with that. Hey, don't go down to St. Phil in the Blanks. Hey, the more you go to Mass, the better. I don't care where it is. Now, I mean, we can have an intramural debate as to this, that, or the other thing. But the bottom line is, we're part of the vine. There is one Holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We are not a part of a community. And to say, Phil, in the Blanks Catholic community, is to buy into 1970s Protestant stuff. That's what that is. It's passé. You know? Be something different. Stand up. Present it that way. We're part of the Catholic Church. And it doesn't matter where you go to Mass, you're part of the Catholic Church. Jesus Christ is there, body, blood, soul, and divinity, objectively. That's the important thing. That's why it doesn't look the same and we don't react the same people, the people that might stick their head in this place every now and then. As long as they're Catholic, they're good. Now, if they're not, then I stick my head in it. Okay? But it's about a mystical union with our Lord Jesus Christ. Us as individuals with Him and us as a community with Him. It is a great mystery. The closest thing we have to it in this world is marriage, and that just nicks the surface of it, but Jesus Christ actually uses that in Ephesians, speaking through His Holy Spirit through St. Paul. He says that mystical union between Christ and the church is manifest in the great mystery of marriage. Okay, we can't understand. How can I be me but be part of Jesus Christ in a real and true and objective sense? It's a great mystery, but it is truth nonetheless. That's what we have to understand. Our relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ is tremendously more profound than Him being your friend. Tremendously more profound. That should be a source of the utmost joy for you. That should be an unfathomably merciful foundation for your faith, to know that you are part of His one Holy Catholic and Apostolic Church, the true vine. Everything else is not. A part of the vine that is the mystical body of our Lord Jesus Christ through His church. So, that's Him and us. That bears consideration as to what does that entail. If we are branches of this true vine, we have to understand that this relationship has caveats. There are requisites for us. We have to understand first and foremost that our Catholic life is a life of activity. You cannot come in here. Oh, you know, I just go in on Sundays. I don't do anything else. I don't talk to people about this. I don't. That is problematic. Our Lord Jesus Christ says, "He who abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit." Not that he who goes to church on Sunday, not he who does this or does that, he who bears much fruit. In some way, shape, or form, you have to bear much fruit for our Lord Jesus Christ. That doesn't mean handing out tracts and knocking on people's doors or anything like that. You have to do something. Bedridden people do a tremendous amount for the kingdom of God. Their prayers are tremendously fruit-bearing. Okay? Contemplative monks and nuns who never go out and help this and help that, who just pray all the time. Their prayers are the foundations of Holy Church. Everybody, there's different parts of the body, but everybody's part of the body. You cannot do your own thing. That's not being part of the body. You can't be, if you go to a doctor and you have something that's dead on you, they will cut it off because it's not only doesn't do anything, it will corrupt the rest of the body if it is not integrally active in the body, in the health of the body. The Christian life, you being a branch of the vine, is essentially a life of activity. What's the definition? Because a lot of times in our day and age we use the word essentially meaning sort of like. I mean it in its purest definition, essentially. It is of the essence of the Christian life to be one of activity. You have to in some way be flourishing and bearing fruit for our Lord Jesus Christ. You have a job to do. You have a mission, so to speak. Now, another thing we have to understand, and this again flies in the face of what you hear if you open a secular magazine or a newspaper, turn on the computer, listen to the radio, you will hear time and time and time again how much you deserve. You deserve this, you deserve that, you are special, you do this. Pray God you don't get what you deserve. I mean that literally. We don't want to get what we deserve in the face of a holy God. Okay, that's all there is to it. Jesus Christ, in this gospel presentation, he is, so to speak in contemporary language, he is in the face of pride. Think of the analogy, the vine and the branches. Harsh for our pride. The branch contributes nothing to the vine, but gains from the vine. The branch receives its nutrients and its nourishment from the vine, but it takes. I always point this out, and it might be a rub, but it bears repeating. We don't do God any favors at all by being here. I could right now wad this up and go, this is ridiculous, and walk out of here, and everybody would be like, really? Yeah. Guess what? That's on me. He's still God. He's still on his throne. He is no less holy because I walk out of this place. We have to understand that. We have to dash our pride because to be prideful is to do things for yourself and not for the vine. The whole thing militates against pride. This whole branch and vine thing is Jesus Christ and his disciples. He wants you to know that without him you can do nothing. That is very pointed. It's very succinct. Think about that for a second. Without me, you can do nothing. Our past and present foolishness, sins, the things that beset us, that foolishness comes from within us. That's the pride part of it. All things that we do that are foolish or sinful, you can look at them and you can say, that was because I was running things. Because if you're living in within the parameters and the context and the precepts of our Lord Jesus Christ, it won't happen. So don't beat yourself up about the stuff in the past. Just understand that that's what happens when you are not part of the vine. An old church father, ancient church father, I love these obscure church fathers, Mark the Hermit. Mark the Hermit, remember that one. Profound. It's like St. John the Dwarf. Mark the Hermit says, and I quote, "Whenever you do something good, remember without me you can do nothing." So, that's, again, talk about the rub of the pride. Anything bad that you do, that's your fault. Anything good that you do, that's Jesus' fault. That's a simple formula. It's a simple formula, but it's one we ought to live by. Don't ever blame him for what you do. Oh, I can't believe God, this, that, or... That's on you. But every time something good happens, don't glory in that, because without him you can do nothing. To understand our weakness and our humanity, to understand that is to have experienced the divine power in just the way we can in this world. And that was first and foremost through the means of grace, prayer, the preaching of the word, reading the Bible, the sacraments, first and foremost, the sacrament of the altar, the confessional. Those things draw you closer to Christ. And the closer you get to him, the more you know how reliant on him you truly are. The more you understand that he is the one from which you gain your nourishment. You understand that the past and even the present foibles of your life are your fault. The closer you get to him, the more you understand that. So the less prideful you feel as you go on in your life with Christ, you will have more and more of an understanding as to what he does for you, and you do really nothing for him. But I said he answers why? Why do I have to do this? Why? It's very simple, succinct. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. By doing what you're supposed to do, bear fruit for the vine, you glorify God. You glorify the Father. That is what we are supposed to do, is to glorify God. That is the why. That is the why of our Catholic life. So, I mean, any why that you really have, you can revert back to this and say, why? Because it glorifies God. It glorifies God. Our Lord Jesus says, if you bear much fruit and you prove to be his disciples. Now, all of your friends who are outside the Catholic Church who like to tell you that it's by faith alone you are saved. Your faith is the beginning of your salvation. It is by grace of God that he calls you to himself. But a living faith must yield fruit. Must yield fruit. All right? And that fruit is in the form of deeds and works. And he doesn't say that you got to bear fruit occasionally. He says you must bear much fruit. You have to bear much fruit. And those are your deeds and your works in this world. Because by them you prove that you are a disciple. And God wants proof. Your friends would like to throw the faith and alone banner in there. One of the nifty little things you can tell them is that the only place that faith and alone is used in the same sentence is in James' epistle. And it says, faith is not alone. You show me a faith without works and I'll show you a dead faith. All right? So that does not apply. We prove to God and we glorify him by our works. Every branch of mine that bears no fruit, he takes away. Now we can get into the sides of, well, if I start bearing fruit, then I become a Christian and then I'm part of the vine. No, you are part of the vine by the virtue of your baptism. By virtue of your baptism, you're part of the vine. And if you don't bear fruit, the Father takes you away. Those are his words, not mine. So if you take issue with that, your issue is not with me, it is with Jesus Christ. What's your interpretation? I'm really trying to struggle with every branch of mine that bears no fruit, he takes away. There's not a whole lot of nuance going on there. Okay? Every branch of mine that bears no fruit, he, the Father, takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes. Touch on that just briefly. This negates this whole idea, oh, I become a good Catholic, I go to Mass on Sundays, everything will be great in my life. Not apparently. Because, well, I bear fruit. Yes, you may. Guess what? He wants you to bear more. It's not your determination to make as to how much or how little fruit you bear. It is our Lord Jesus Christ and the Father who is a vine dresser. And guess what? He will prune you to make you. Excellent illustration for that, the little ones. You could take them out to, yesterday before the work day, your hibiscus bushes over there were like 12 feet tall, but probably more than that. You go over there now, and they're, I'm like, man, is that going to kill them? Nope. A couple months from now, they're going to be almost as big as they were. And the next work day, they will be bigger than they were before. Why? Because we cut them down. That's how it works. That's what Jesus is communicating to us. You can bear fruit. He wants you to bear more. Man, he's doing a good job. What do? It doesn't hurt when you hack a plant down. It hurts us. But guess what? It's worth it. It is truly worth it. Because why? It doesn't have anything to do with you. It has to do with the Father being glorified. That is the crux of the matter, literally and figuratively. The Father is glorified in abundant fruit, and that fruit is our individual and collective faith, charity, and good works. Faith, charity, and good works that are employed in the conversions of others. That's what it's about, is conversions. Conversions of others. And it, like I said, there are many parts of the body, and whatever your particular ministry may be, your apostolate in the church, as long as it's bearing the fruit of conversions. You know, we have the 40 days for life, for instance, occasionally, and, you know, comes up periodically. Oh my gosh, here comes 40 days again. They're going to want me to sign up and stand in front of the abortion clinic. I say my rosary. I've never seen anything like that. Every time that happens, there are three or four lives saved during those 40 days. That just in and of itself is fine. There are conversions that happen there. There are people who have separated themselves from the vine. You know, what's really kind of interesting to me is our Father, the vine dresser, will cut off a branch that bears no fruit. There are a tremendous amount of branches who cut themselves off from the vine. Folks that have cut themselves off from the vine because of the 40 days for life come back to the vine. And they become parts of the vine that bear much fruit. They have been pruned, and now they bear much fruit. You got people that are like a bedridden person. Their prayers can result in conversions, and they do. That is bearing much fruit. So it doesn't matter where you are. You have to, and you know, do soul searching. How have I bore fruit for the kingdom of Christ? How? And if you can't think of something, we can work on it a bit better. A little pruning, that'll work. It's about the glory of God. It's about His glory. It's about what we should understand about our Lord Jesus, your relationship with Him. But the why, first and foremost, to bring Him glory. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.